They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Income and spending on the rise, kind of.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith in for Steve Chiatakis. Personal income and spending numbers are out this morning. And in the first 3 months of the year, we earned a little bit more, 0.5%, and spent a little bit more, too. Here to take a look at that with us is Jill Schlesinger, editor-at-large for CBSMoneyWatch.com. She joins us live. Good morning, Jill.
Good morning.
So income and spending are up a bit. That sounds like good news.
Yeah, and you'll read that headline tomorrow. Spending was up for a ninth straight month. But I think these are really underwhelming numbers because, you know, consumers spent a lot of their money on gas and food. So that's not like the greatest way to power an economy. Actually, though, I don't think there's going to be a huge market reaction because a lot of analysts were bracing themselves for worse results, especially on the spending for oil and food.
It's interesting that you mention oil and food because those were both named as a big reason that we saw slow economic growth GDP numbers earlier this week.
Yeah, you know, the U.S. economy grew at only 1.8% in the first quarter, down from 3.1% in the fourth quarter of last year. And, you know, we attributed that weakness to harsh winter weather and a drop in defense spending. But again, the increase in oil prices, and that really affected consumer spending. Consumers only spent, they only had a gain of 2.7% on their spending in the first quarter, and that was down from 4% in the previous quarter.
Here's the thing, though. In spite of all this kind of bad economic news, the markets are doing really, really well. They were up again yesterday. What's going on?
Yes, this is the head-scratching moment. So, you know, look, we're at multi-year highs in the stock market, and yet it seems like the economy is not really powering forward. And I think that we always forget about this, that the stock market's direction is really a bet on whether companies can make money in the future, not whether what the economy is doing well, but can these companies make money? And according to corporate earnings results, boy, they are making a lot of money. And probably a lot of that comes from these companies that are multinational. Their profits come from places that are far away, where economic growth is on fire. We just hope that some of that spark gets over here to the U.S. so we get some job creation and the economy starts really firing on all cylinders here in the U.S.
Jill Schlesinger with CBSMoneyWatch.com. Thank you, Jill.
Great to be with you.
Markets are looking pretty good this morning. Germany's DAX is up 0.3%. China's Shanghai Composite Index climbed 0.8%. New census numbers are out for China today. 1.3 billion people live in that country. That's actually a little less than they expected. What does that mean for the economy? Marketplace's Rob Schmitz reports.
It's a simple economic equation. A country's productivity times the growth of its working age population equals a country's GDP. China economist Michael Pettis says for decades, this equation has worked beautifully for China.
From 1975 until roughly now, the working population was growing quite quickly.
In other words, the growth of China's workers remained a positive number. But now...
That positive number now goes negative.
Uh-oh. China is now one of the fastest aging countries on the planet. Fewer working age people will have to work harder to support themselves and a growing elderly population. Inevitably, says Pettis, this leads to slower economic growth. Some economists think it'll also lead investors elsewhere, like to India. India's steady birth rate means it will most likely become the world's most populous country within 10 years and will dethrone China as home to the world's fastest economy within the next couple of years. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering its Raise Your Rate CD as well as online savings account and money market account. Learn more at allybank.com. And by IBM, working to help mid-sized businesses become the engines of a smarter planet. Learn more at ibm.com/engines. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Comer Science and Education Foundation, dedicated to supporting innovative programs making a positive impact on the lives of individuals and communities.
After a big brouhaha over location tracking, Apple now says the iPhone does not track users' locations. John Mo is the host of Marketplace Tech Report. He joins us now. John, good morning.
Hello.
John, Apple has issued a statement saying that the data that it collected was all about Wi-Fi and data network coverage, and that they are not indeed spying on us. But for some reason, that has not settled the issue in Washington.
Oh, the issue in Washington is just getting started. There's going to be the Senate Judiciary Committee has a subcommittee on privacy, technology, and the law. They're going to hold a hearing on May 10th entitled Protecting Mobile Privacy, Your Smartphones, Tablets, Cell Phones, and Your Privacy. So anytime wow. a hearing has the word privacy twice in its title, you know they're really stepping up. And so at the same time, House Republicans are sending letters to a lot of these tech companies asking questions about how data is being stored on devices, where it's being shared. And, you know, anytime you have House Republicans calling for more regulation and more oversight, you know that this is an issue with a lot of momentum in Washington.
Why does this issue have such political momentum on both sides of the aisle?
Well, it's part of a continuum. People have been talking about privacy in Washington for a while. But also, I think a lot of this falls on the tech companies. They haven't been very forthcoming about what their practices are. So it's an easy thing for politicians to take advantage of. The tech companies are making it easier.
Washington aside, are the tech companies going to do anything to change our phones?
You know, the data collection will continue. You can't stem the tides. I think it might mean some changes in transparency, though. That's what a lot of the proposed legislation seems to be about, is about these tech companies saying, look, this is exactly what we're doing. This is what we're doing it for. If you want to change it, let us know. So it's really a matter of what is being collected, how long it's being stored, whether it's encrypted. But the actual collection, I think, is not going to end anytime soon.
John Mo is the host of Marketplace Tech Report. John, thank you so much.
Thanks, Stacey.
And finally, the government has proposed new guidelines for how the food industry can advertise to kids. Among the practices in the crosshairs, using cartoon characters like Toucan Sam and Cap'n Crunch to sell sugary cereals. Regulators say food companies should use them to push healthy foods. Silly Rabbit, quinoa's for kids. Yeah, good luck with that. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Memo from the cool kids, they're not just tastemakers, you know, they're social connectors, too.
I hate the categorization of East Side hipsters. These are the people that are really engaged with social media and very likely to share.
And oh, so lucrative. I'm Kai Rizdal. Plain old book festivals are going all Web 2.0 to get those folks. The story next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.